John 12, verse 20. Okay. Today's gospel is from St. John chapter 12, starting with the 20th verse. Jesus predicts his death. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus, and Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And I tell you the truth, that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself." Now he said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And the crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." And when he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. And even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and he spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. (Clears throat) Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Did you know that Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 begin with the exact same words? Those words are, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Go ahead and look it up. Psalm 14, verse 1, Psalm 53, verse 1. "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." Today is Palm Sunday. And this coming Thursday is Maundy Thursday. Then Good Friday is next, with Resurrection Sunday following on March 31st, this next Sunday. However, the very next day, that Monday, is April the 1st, April Fool's Day, or as I'm going to refer to it, according to the scripture cited above, it is Atheist Day, April 1st. Now, of course, the atheist can and do and say the same thing about us. They believe that we Christians were the fools. And this is also biblical, for we know the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. He said this, "We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles." And as you know, if the Holy Spirit is not at work in a person, much of what Jesus says sounds like absolute foolishness. Now consider the word glory, for example. When the world talks about glory, it looks at things like the accumulation of wealth and power, the building up of status, the establishing of a positive public image, and so forth. The world looks for the ability to impress desires and wants onto other people, the ability to give commands and have people carry out those commands. That is the sort of thing that the world thinks about when the world thinks of glory. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, has an entirely different approach to glory. As Jesus rode the donkey into Jerusalem, he knew that the time would soon be fulfilled for him to pay the ultimate price to rescue mankind. He told the disciples over and over again that he would suffer many things at the hands of the Jewish authorities, that he would suffer and that he would die. He knew that the time was at hand for all things to happen. And even so, he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Now, the natural man with his natural mind asks the following. The natural man says, "How exactly can appearing before a kangaroo court, getting beat to a pulp, and then dying on a cross, in any way, shape, or form, be glorifying?" But that is what Jesus said. To the world, this is foolishness. And then there is this statement of foolishness. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And here, Jesus states that he must die and that he must be buried like a seed before his church will grow. Now, the world tells us experientially that it is hard enough to recruit followers when you are alive. It most certainly is impossible to do after death. Your loyal followers might make you into a martyr, but everyone else will think that you are a fool and pity you. How foolish these words must seem to those who refuse to believe. Then we read that Jesus insisted that his followers should be as foolish as he is. He said, "Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." Now, the world knows for a fact, or at least it believes, that you have to look out for number one, that you've got to love yourself first and foremost if you are to do anything with your life. How can hating your life in the world lead to any kind of glory? This, to the world, is all foolishness. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And with these words, he told his followers that his death on the cross will bring all people to him. But the people of that time considered the cross a thing of shame, not fame. What kind of marketing plan, really, what kind of marketing plan is that? What good can it do to have followers when you are dead? Well, this isn't a plan. It's foolishness, according to the world. From the world's point of view, the wise thing would be to leverage that popularity among that mob of people who waved the palm branches as Jesus entered Jerusalem and the temple. Now there's an opportunity, the world would say. There's a power base. There is some political capital to spend. The world would tell Jesus to build on that power base, to use those followers to exert power over the ruling authorities, to leverage those followers into a political machine that could take over the Jewish states, perhaps. Go on to maybe challenge Caesar himself. Now there is the kind of glory that the world can understand. Popularity can lead to influence, and influence can lead to the kind of glory that the world desires. Now, Jesus, more than anyone else, knew exactly what the glory of the cross meant for him. Anticipation of these events already began to take their toll, and he shared his thoughts with the people who had praised him and who now listened to his teaching. He said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour." Jesus is the perfect human being, and his impending suffering and death bothered him just as much as it would bother anyone. He knew very well what was about to happen, and it troubled his soul. He could back out, the world would say. He could call on his Father to rescue him, but that is not why he, the Son of God, had taken on human flesh. He had taken on human flesh so that he could take our place on the cross. He came to live the perfect life that we could not live. and he came to take God's wrath in our place. This was his purpose. This was the reason that he had taken on human flesh. And this was the reason that he entered Jerusalem to celebrate one last Passover meal before he died. The glory of the cross would indeed be foolish if this world were all that there is. But we know that this world is not all that there is. Jesus saw beyond the crucifixion to a new life. He saw the joy of heaven beyond the cross and the grave. He saw the glory of God that lay beyond the shame of the cross. He knew that a kangaroo court, a beating, and a cross awaited him, but he knew that he would pass beyond these things and enter the glory of God. He knew that when he was buried like a seed in the ground, that he would return to new life. He would not only enter the glory of God, but he would bring us along with him. And through his death and burial, a living thing would grow from him. A living thing that is a plant growing, that's like a plant growing from a seed. That living thing is the Holy Christian Church, the community of all who believe in him. Now, all the teachings of the Bible, all of them focus on Jesus Christ. The law shows us our need for Jesus Christ. The good works that the Bible encourages are only possible because Jesus Christ has freed us. He's freed us from the slavery of sin. All the teachings of the Bible depend on the glory of God as expressed in the shame of the cross. As we remember Jesus lifted up on the cross this week, we remember how he draws us to him. And we know that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul in his letter to the church in Rome, chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, he said this: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life." The Holy Spirit works through baptism to place faith in our hearts and to put our feet on the way of the cross. So, on April 1st, we may prepare to enjoy a day for fools and pranks. It is also a good day to remember the foolishness of the cross, the foolishness that saves us. On this day of foolishness, in fact, I guess for me every day is Fool's Day, we can remember the rest of the words that Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth. He said, "The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." In the name of Jesus, amen.